This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, Place to Be Nation. How are you? I'm JT here tonight on this Friday evening, and I am back alongside my brother from Canada. That is, of course, Aaron D. George. Aaron, how are you?
How much deeper do you think the ocean would be if sponges did not grow in it?
I was hoping it was a Mark Henry thing in there. I feel like your questions always involve Mark Henry.
I know, well, and his shiny back.
Yes. I thought you were going to say something like that. Like, how much more water, or how much deeper the ocean would be if Mark Henry's back absorbed all of the water in the ocean.
There'd be no water left. That back is gigantic.
Boy. How are you?
I am very well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here with you. It's been as we talked about on the Place to Be podcast, tumultuous few weeks of travel, but I am back, settled in, trying to get back in the groove, and of course, we are running tight on time in this Greatest Doty Wrestler Ever project, Aaron. We revealed not too long ago that ballots would be officially due by December 31st, 2017, which gives us just about 2 months from this coming Tuesday to get your ballots in. So time is ticking on research, and this is our fourth installment of, I believe, called Making the Cut. We haven't confirmed that, but we're pretty sure. We've done three. We've run through a bunch of people. We also did a couple pod blasts, too. So we've covered a decent chunk of candidates, and we have four more to talk about tonight. And these four, at least three of the four, we're confident will be ranked by pretty much everybody. One is borderline, and they're all kind of controversial a little bit in their own right, in different ways. So why don't we go ahead and get started, unless you had anything else you wanted to cover?
Not at all.
Okay. Tremendous. Our production meeting was 15 minutes on Kirby Enthusiasm.
Ranking those seasons instead of wrestlers.
Forget this project. We're going to rank all the Curb seasons and American Pie movies, because that's been consuming our chat group.
I went away from my phone for like a half minute, and like 80 pages of American Pie stuff was on.
Yeah, for whatever reason, those movies connect with the majority of our listeners and fans of Place to Be Nation. Anyway, why don't we go ahead and start with our first candidate, and that is Mr. Roddy Piper, the rowdy one. And this is a guy, very clearly, that if he's not on your list, then you probably should not be submitting a list. I don't care if you're a newer fan, a fan of the 50s stuff, or whatever. I mean, Piper has to be on every list. He is a must. The question is, a guy like him, you know, I've seen people say that they're going to have him like top five. You know, I think Kelly is one of them and a couple others that are going to have him pretty high. He seems like he's a lock for at least top 20, right? Top 25, maybe at the least. You know, there is some stuff that I guess could be held against him, but I don't think much. If you remember the criteria that's laid out in the Google Doc that's posted to the Facebook group, the NJPW system, nuance, jump up, promo skills, and old work rate are the four metrics by which you should be using to organize your list. So let me throw that out to you at first before we kind of break this down. Where, on first thought, where would Piper fall on your list? I know you've done some list organization, but like going into it, where did you think he was going to fall? And then if he's already kind of been part of your system, let me know where he is.
Well, he seemed off the top. I was like, this is no brainer. He's top 10. That's what it seemed like. But then when I actually started kind of like comparing him to guys, he ended up within the top 20, near 20.
Right.
Like there was just too many guys like, no, he can't be ahead of him. He can't be ahead of him. Like, and stuff like that. So, I mean, we'll break down why, but that's kind of, he was a kind of a surprising one for me. I figured he'd be higher.
And the interesting thing is he is someone that is actually the prototypical WWF wrestler, you know, good enough size, especially in his prime run in the 80s when he was juiced. Great talker, brawler, presence, charisma, work rate, ugh, but they don't care. So to me, like you said, first glance, you're thinking tippity top because he is their guy. The problem is there's been other people that have that and the matches. You know what I mean?
Like,
I think that's where he comes up short. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what does it. I mean, like, he's got an amazing round face, but, like, his body of work just isn't there.
Right. And he also doesn't have a ton of longevity, as much as you would think. Because he came and went, and really his main run where he's on top is just 84 to 87. Like, that's not – I mean, it's good. It's good enough to get him in the top 20, but it's not – like, for other guys that we've talked about, like, you know, like an Eddie Guerrero or Chris Jericho or Bret Hart. I mean, those guys just have, like, decades of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even and Brock Lesnar probably has more years at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably going to get some hate for that, but we'll save that. But yeah, and his return after that it was never really great.
Right.
Like, in terms of matches and...
No, well, right. Character stuff, he was good.
Maybe. Maybe.
Like, well, I guess I'm thinking, like, his 96 commissioner run was pretty good.
Yes, that was pretty good. But I would say there's... I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves a bit, but I would say there's a definite... change in his ability to cut promos from when he was there originally and when he comes back. I thought his promos when he came back are just atrocious compared to what he was like good at, what he was doing before.
Sure. And I mean, at that, you could see the deterioration in WCW. I mean, a lot of stuff was crap toward the end. But I think in 03 his stuff wasn't bad. But everything after that is when it started to go on him. Like, it almost felt like when he got fired in 03 for mouthing off on that show. It kind of sapped him of whatever he had for some reason.
Yeah, but I mean, I would go as far back to like 89 where I thought his promos were suffering.
Fair enough. All right, nuance, through the roof, right? I mean, well, I guess not with longevity, but flexibility, great heel, all-time heel, really, really good face. I don't know if I'd call him an all-time face, but he's up there. Intangibles are unbelievable. Great charisma. Just the connection to the crowd is amazing. The presence, the feel, the bagpipes, the entrance, the kilt, the look, the name. I mean, Ronda Rousey uses it in tribute to this day. You know what I mean? Like, just a legendary name. All the entrances with the bagpipe band, you know, the Emerald band there. Just everything is so, like, that's just Roddy Piper. Like, when you say him, that's who it is. Everything. You picture it immediately.
Is he the first, is he the first time that a heel was turned face by the crowd, like on a major level?
It's funny because he actually kind of coincides with Jake.
Right.
It happens the same with him. I guess Piper is a little before Jake, but.
Right.
Yeah, because Hogan, he pretty much comes back as a face.
Yeah.
I would say so. I would say, at least in WWF, yeah, he's. I mean, I don't know. I can't speak to. Like 60s and 70s. I mean, there may be someone in there that the fans just turned, but at least from the modern times, from the pay-per-view era on, he's probably the first. Him and Jake were the kind of the forebearers of that.
Yeah, but nobody cares about the 60s.
Some do. So, yeah, just when you think of Piper, that's what I think of, is just kind of running down the aisle or marching to the aisle, leather jacket, kilt, bagpipes.
So I'm touring with a show of Macbeth. And we wear kilts in the show. And someone asked in a question and answer period, and I tour schools, and someone asked in a question and answer period why I'm wearing a skirt. And my retort was, the late, great Roddy Piper would call that a kilt. And the crowd erupted. And this is a crowd of, like, teenagers today. So his longevity certainly, in terms of, like, his star power certainly is still somewhat shining today.
Yeah, and he had the Hollywood connection. He's kind of the first, I mean, I guess Hogan with Rocky, but I'll say the first WWF guy to kind of go and strike it out in Hollywood. I mean, Hogan did it before at WWF, but, or at least before his return. Obviously, he'd been at WWF before. And, you know, not, you know, he became a Hollywood, I'll call him like a mainstay. I don't think he ever became a star, but he was a guy that would pop in and out of movies and TV here and there. And you know, he had a name in Hollywood, I'll put it that way.
He blazed the trail for the straight-to-video WWE studios.
Yes, he did. Right up until the end. I mean, he's in It's Always Sunny. He was, you know, on a couple episodes of that. So that was toward the end of his life. And, of course, Legends House. He was the star of that. All right, so jump-up factor. What are Piper's most memorable kind of matches and moments for you?
Well, I mean, you got to talk about the Piper's Pit, obviously, mm-hmm. like just as a number one as a concept. Right. But also, I mean, you got the coconut, Jimmy Snuka. You got all those memorable interviews, and you get a lot of stuff that like just has more gravitas because he's the one doing it there. Mm-hmm. Like even something as silly as well, not silly, but something like Hogan and Andre do their thing on Piper's Pit.
Right.
With Piper and Hogan's history, it just enhances the whole thing. And I mean, the WrestleMania 1 storyline was so huge with Mr. T and the build to that, and with uh-huh. Hogan and being on Saturday Night Live. It was so crazy. And the Cyndi Lauper beforehand, which was a huge deal for the Federation, got them so many new eyes on the promotion. Boxing Mr. T the next year. In between that, I think he had his match with Paul Orndorff on Saturday Night Live, which I know it's just kind of
event.
A. Maybe they did it on Saturday Night, Saturday Night Live. Be better than the program at the time, which I loved. I really dig that match. The face turn, the Adrian Adonis stuff. Mm-hmm. And when he comes back, I actually quite enjoy his quasi-feud with Flair. I think that's great. Survivor Series 91 is kind of a shit show, but I really dig that first match, and a lot of it is
because it's the highlight of the show.
Yeah, and because of him and Flair, I dig the Rude feud as well from 89.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that's pretty fun.
And they got the really good cage match.
Yeah.
Plus the, you know, it's pretty memorable, him mooning him to cost of the title at SummerSlam.
Give Warrior the title. And then you get to 92. He's got the Mountie win, which is fun. He's got a good showing in that 92 Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably his best worked match with Bret at WrestleMania 8.
Yep.
It's a pretty safe assumption. And then we were talking about it before. The commissioner stuff with Goldust was really good. His return at WrestleMania 19 was lots of fun.
Yeah.
So he's got a good amount from me. Did I miss anything there?
No, I think you covered him. I mean, if you want to go very late era, him and Flair winning the tag titles is a pretty cool moment.
Right.
And they saved his life because they found the cancer or whatever. remember, what happened? He hurt his arm. Remember, he hurt something in that angle, and they ended up finding out he had like cancer in his leg or something. Or his abdomen, whatever it was. So they ended up inadvertently saving his life.
Was that the same leg that Ted DiBiase beat up?
He gave him the cancer with that chair, with that crutch.
That crutch was full of cancer?
But, yeah, there's one you didn't mention, Virgil. That was a big – I mean, you know, that's a huge moment where Virgil turns and, like, Piper is the driving force in that whole thing where he's, you know, the how do you spell man? You know, like that whole thing with Piper. And then his commentary in that match at SummerSlam 91 is great.
Come on, Virgil!
Yeah. So good.
Although I hate him at WrestleMania 7 telling him to get up – or Virgil telling him to get up.
Yeah. That's
– Get up!
Oh, then he throws the crotch and poor Danny Davis. I mean, the crutch in his crotch. Awful.
That's right.
Then, you know, he's got a couple of downers, too. Like, WrestleMania 6 is, I mean, that's an all-time bad WrestleMania match. Him and Bad News, it just makes no sense with the half.
It's an all-time bad idea.
Yeah, just everything about it. The Lawler stuff in 94. Like, I don't give a fuck what Will tells you. That match is not good.
Are we going to hold the I'm Your Man from WCW against him?
No, that's a plus that he had that in him. But also the – God, that's so bad. For Everybody on the wrestling album makes up for it, though. It's a great song. Yeah, no, I mean, there's so much good for Piper. And honestly, the whole feud with Snuka, not just the moment with the coconut, but the whole feud with him and the tag matches with Tonga Kid, like all that stuff is great. There's so much heat, so much heat. Just a walking fucking heat missile for so many years. And I guess we can talk big matches. So I guess his biggest matches, best matches, WrestleMania 1, WrestleMania 3, the Orndorff signing main event, and then
Brett
and Piper. I mean, and Goldust, you know, as much as a fuck fist as that is. I guess it depends how you want to factor in all the OJ stuff, but the brawl in the back was pretty good.
Well, that wasn't him. I'm sure he didn't come up with the OJ stuff.
Right. And then even the Mountie match, like you said, I mean, that's an awesome, that might be one of his best top three moments when he wins the IC title. The pop for that is just insane. Because he just never had a belt. So it was like so cool to see him finally win one and get that big match at Mania that he had never had.
He cuts a promo before that match where like the Mountie said he's going to rob him of his dignity. And Piper, for some reason, said, I don't have any dignity. That's like Jacques Cousteau trying to find a dry spot in the ocean. And I told that joke at school constantly and no one got it. I was so upset.
Only you and Roddy Piper get that one.
Yeah, no.
I mean, yeah, promos too. With the so, I don't even know where you'd even start. I mean, just all the pits. God, there's one we watched in some of these MSG ones we've been watching for the Place to Be podcast are like unbelievable too. The Heat, the one with Bruno where he, you know, calls on the WAP and everything, like just like all this stuff. And another one he had with Heenan and Orndorff was so good. And so many
much of
pits.
His promos
Frankie
wouldn't
Williams.
Fly today. Yeah.
Oh yeah, of course. No, he was rough. Predicted the Mets coming back and winning the World Series in '86. Was pretty crazy in one of those pits. Even the Brett promo before WrestleMania 8 was really cool.
I hate that promo.
Really?
Well, I like the theme of it, but I hate him. Like, yeah. Going off of, but you have the sandwiches. And
come
it
on.
Just drove me insane.
And then also the, you know, kind of a cool moment, I guess a little hokey, but the him playing the bagpipes at SummerSlam in London. He had been gone since Mania 8. And he makes a surprise return there to play the bag. Like, it was just fitting. Like, they finally have pay-per-view in England and, you know, UK, and he's there. So I thought that was kind of neat. And also, one of my favorite all-time promos is the Rowdy Rowdies at Survivor Series 89 with the Moans and Bones and Big Bones. That's,
I hate that.
Come on!
I hate it.
Shit's all in your wheelhouse. What are you talking about?
It is not. And look, anytime there's someone devouring food and shit, I don't want any part of it. If we're going to talk about Survivor Series 93 at some point, I'm going to be angry at that, too.
I mean, I'm not a fan of the Bushwhackers by any means, but that's a good promo. It's fun.
I
like it because there's such a dichotomy because, like, the heel team is such class, you know? It's like rude, perfect. The Rougeaus are these kind of smarmy, classy heels, and you just get these fucking slobs in the back going nuts.
You're right. There is an interesting dichotomy.
There's such a beauty to it, you know? Like these fucking morons in the back just wolfing down turkeys as these other guys are out there looking all suave and fucking manicured mustaches and everything. Like, I don't know. It's just like...
There is something about Piper descending to them, too.
Right, yeah. He's just like, he just goes all the way to rock bottom to get the nuts. But, yeah, no, even the stuff in 96 was pretty good promo-wise with the...
Sure.
With the you know, there must be a winner to set up the WrestleMania 12, and then the stuff of Goldust was, you know, homophobic, but that was the time, but pretty good. But you're right, a lot of his stuff wouldn't fly today. But the pits alone are enough to get him on the list, even if he never was stuffed in the ring.
Yeah, I think with promos, especially in his comeback, he fell too often, and it's something Bobby Heenan did too, but like they make references to things that happened in the 50s, in the
right.
80s.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, you're right.
That's not your target.
Right, especially by the 90s and 2000s, like they're still doing it. And yeah, I mean, you'll hear it too. Yes, yep, 100% right. Bobby's okay. Still doing it on like 97 Nitros, you know, just referencing
right.
Like fucking Howdy Doody and stuff like that.
And Ed Sullivan, like
but yeah, but once Piper kind of embraces that he's old and not cool, like it gets a little bit better. But
yeah.
I didn't mind some of his stuff with like O'Hare in 03, like I thought that was kind of decent.
Yeah, it's fine, but they didn't really do anything with it. That's not him, though.
Right, and then he gets fired anyway. But
and then there's a lot of that stuff too after that, where like he comes back with Cyndi Lauper, and that's terrible. There's that promo with is it with John Cena that he wants him to hit him or something.
Wrong. He had one good one though. Where didn't he have a pit? Was it where wasn't where Undertaker chokeslammed like Cena and Shawn or something? Remember that?
Yeah, that rings a bell.
There was a cool moment there. Also, the Rumble at MSG when him and Snuka come out and fight is
pretty cool.
Oh,
that's great.
That's a great moment, too.
Yeah.
That might be his last really great moment.
Yeah.
Did Orton RKO him, too, during the whole Legend Killer thing?
He must have.
Yeah.
They for sure dragged him out to get RKO.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, moments through the roof. There's not – you can't argue it. All right, so promo skills, top-notch. What did you think of his character?
I liked it a lot more in his first run.
Mm-hmm.
Because his character in his first run was like this shitty little heel. Not little, comparatively, right? But shitty little heel that just for some reason couldn't be beaten and held that over you. Like, and I liked that. I liked that about him. I found it got a little more vague when he came back. I didn't really get what he was like.
I think he was just Roddy Piper, right? I mean, that was there was like not much to him. He's just kind of wild with the long hair.
Yeah, like I don't know. Like it's fine. It's a good wrestling character, but I don't know if it. I don't know if he'd be propelled above people on character for me.
Right. He never really evolved past that.
Right. And especially when he was just happy-go-lucky Roddy Piper from '89 until Goldust started fucking with him.
Right, he's just kind of like the aw shucks, you know, I used to be hated, and I'm a big Hollywood star. And although he does have that little twist as a heel, as a combo. We didn't really talk about his commentary, which isn't really too much of a factor on this list. But he does twinge heel a little bit when he first takes over for Jesse. It, like SummerSlam 90 is like the biggest one where he's kind of working heel that whole show. I think his commentary improved once he just started being himself again instead of trying to force the heel stuff again. But I even like the three-man booth with him, Vince, and Savage. I thought was pretty good.
And they got to call that snake attack, which is just amazing.
Right, yes.
Get out of there, Randy!
And him, and part of the flair for you, too, when he hits Vince with the chair in the commentary table. I thought it was a good first feud for Flair, too, to help bring him in. Obviously, they had a lot of past and history and chemistry together, so...
Yeah, and it's a top guy from the feud with that isn't Hogan or Savage.
Right, and it makes sense. All right, so work rate, I mean, he excelled at what he could do, right, which is this brawl. Very clunky in the ring, like not smooth at all. He actually compares to someone we're going to talk about later in my mind as far as like herky-jerky movements. Like can't fall down well, you know what I mean? Like he just kind of flops and like staggers a lot.
Yeah.
But great seller.
Makes a lot of noise.
The what?
Makes a lot of noise.
Oh yeah, tons of noise. Really great seller in the, you know, connects to the crowd during the match. I like his punches. Like they have really good punches. He could show ass when he needed to, even without losing. But the punch I always think of is when he like fucks his hand up on Goldust's face WrestleMania 12.
Oh, yeah.
Just fucking levels him.
Yeah, I always loved his eye pokes also.
Mm-hmm. He was good at that, like, very sleight of hand eye poke.
Like, and I love the spot he would always do where Flair would try to give him a reverse atomic drop,
yes,
and it
would
never work.
Yes, I was about to say that one. Yeah, and he'd miss it, and then he'd poke him in the eye. Yeah. And even his entrance at Rumble 92 when he comes running down the aisle with the hands out, and Flair's like, oh, fuck, you know.
Oh, no! And he tries to kill Flair.
He does. He tries to
He sleepers him in, like, for what, like 3 minutes?
That was like a throwback night for him. Like he was just feeling it on that night between the title win and the Rumble appear. Like all of that has felt so, it felt like he was just back. You know,
he's legitimate great in that Rumble too. Like we're there's a moment where like Undertaker's choking someone and like Piper laughs, so Undertaker chokes him too. This is great.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean yeah. So what do you think then? Work rate rise, like work rate wise. So I think
he's fine. He's not bad.
Right.
He's not bad, but like
I think he gets points for excelling at what he was supposed to do, which is brawl.
Sure, but you wouldn't put him in a conversation of all time great workers.
Correct. And he flashes a bit of it with Brett.
But yeah, he's
that's
he's
also
great
Brett.
In the match.
You know, Brett pulling the match out of him. You know, because you never saw it with anyone else. Like that was it.
Yeah, but it was also a great thing with like Brett. What he didn't add to work rate in that match, he added with star power, which translated to work rate almost.
Right, and just the drama he brought with the bell and the look into the crate. You know, he's kind of having this crisis of conscience, like he finally won a title, and he should be doing anything to keep it, because that's what the old Piper would have done. But this guy's like a brother to him, you know, he doesn't hate him, he should beat him clean, that's what he wants. So he has, like, you get to see it playing out through the course of the match, like, am I old Piper, have I really changed, and how should I be acting? Even though I want to hold this gold, I've never held it before, I don't want to lose it. So it's a pretty good play that they put on in that match.
But I gotta tell you, I loves your pops. I'll tell you, if you rewatch that match, there's a guy in the crowd, my friend pointed out to me, in the upper left-hand side of the hard camera, wearing a Roddy Piper shirt, just losing his mind the whole match. Like when Piper loses, he lets out like a primal scream, which must have just upset everyone around him.
He had waited so long for that moment.
Yeah.
Do you count his WrestleMania 5 return as a plus or a minus?
It's like it was great to see him, but
yeah, that's a long ass fucking segment on a long show.
Yeah, but like, I mean, it would be much better if we didn't get like a 5-minute Brother Love impersonation.
Right, if he just comes out right away.
And, I mean, Morton Downey Jr., like, come on.
Yeah. Don't blow in the smoke in my face.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so all things shaking out on the list. I mean, if someone has him outside the top 20, are you calling, you know, bogus, or are you thinking it's all right? You know, like, what's your cut point as the lowest you could understand someone putting Piper?
I don't know. Like, I that's a weird question for me, because I don't. Everybody has different opinions on where he should be, right? Like, right. Like for me, I couldn't.
Well, what's the lowest someone would put him that you would be like, what? The, like, really? Like what? Like, what would make you jaw drop a bit?
Probably after 50.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, I wouldn't put him that high, like that low. Like, right. I currently have him at 19. Right. Like, I have him just after the guys who are probably like what we're talking about, like, have a lot of the same level of jump Everything. Ups as him, yeah. But just have the classic matches to go with it. Right. I actually have him lumped in with Andre. Like, I find like those two are actually eerily similar in terms of like, I mean, Andre's a worse worker than he is, obviously.
And a worse promo. But,
but yeah, like, but their importance to the business is so huge.
Right.
That to me, like, they have to be like either just outside the top tier or like high in the second tier.
Yep.
And that was kind of my rationale with ranking him there. But what about you? Like, if someone put him at like 30, would you lose your mind? Would you throw them off the project? Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know if I go that radical, but I'd be, I don't see the argument to make him not a top, because knowing what the WWF wants out of a worker, of a wrestler, like, I think he met everything they'd want. And yes, he didn't have the classic matches, so that keeps him out of the top. But, I mean, I don't know how you can look at Roddy Piper and not say top 20 WWF wrestler.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes sense to me, too.
You have to just really value matches and work rate, I guess. I mean, that's the only thing that could keep him out, is that you just feel because there's no – he's just one of those guys you can't say, like, well, I'm just not a fan of his pro. I mean, he's a great pro. I mean, there's no way around it, right? He's just a great talker, you know, yeah. All time, maybe the best. And you can't question his moments because they are big. So it's like – you can't question his connection because it's great. So there's only so much you can ding him on. So to me, to drop him, you'd have to just say, well, I just don't think he's a good worker. He could brawl and has like, you know, three really good matches, like nothing
yeah.
else.
Yeah. Like for me, like it would have to be the opposite argument. You'd have to really make the case for the people ahead of him.
Right.
Because you can't ding him that much, but I could see because the people I have ahead of him, it's really not really because of Piper. It's because I like their body of work more.
All right, like, who do you have, like, in the five after him?
After being, like 20, 21, 22 kind of thing?
Yes.
So, look, I
yes,
got...
Yes, after
right
Piper,
now,
yep,
this,
in line.
This
yep.
might all change, right?
Okay.
Right now, I got Piper at 19, Andre at 20, Daniel Bryan at 21, Warrior at 22, Owen Hart at 23.
Okay, so...
and
Owen...
then I get into like Orton, Flair, like it's a weird, but it's gonna change, right?
Okay.
Like I'm still
right.
researching.
Well, Owen feels like a natural cut point there, right? So like he's the one guy that you mentioned that like I could say I don't see the argument. Like you can't put Owen over Piper,
being ahead of Piper.
Yes,
no.
But I think the three before Owen, yeah, I mean now you start to talk a bit, right? Because you have Warrior, who has a lot of the same qualities as Piper. Not as great promo, but good in his own way.
Well,
but he has the matches.
Way. Yeah, yeah.
But he's got
yeah.
the matches that Piper doesn't have. You know, he's got the WrestleMania 6, WrestleMania 7, SummerSlam 92, SummerSlam 89. I mean, that's, you know, that's matches that Piper can't touch. So
WrestleMania 12.
Yeah. So what do you, what's your argument for Piper over Warrior then?
He's just way more, to me, he's way more important to the business.
Okay.
Like way more, and he's better at all. It's like he beats him in every category except jump up.
Right.
And then because of that,
so you'll take Piper's work rate over Warrior's?
Work rate. This is my trouble with the work rate category. Like for me, when I'm ranking guys, honestly, work rate is like I almost, not that I don't factor it, but mm-hmm. I don't. It's really not important. It's if I were to like rank like. What is important to me in the NJPW?
Right.
Like it's like N and J or J. It'd be like J N really high, and then the other two way below.
Okay.
So like, I don't know. They're probably similar in work rate. It's just I think Warrior got better matches with his work rate.
Right. And how about Daniel Bryan?
Oh, Daniel Bryan's work rate is way better.
I just mean overall. So how do, what's your argument for Piper?
Not really. I don't know. Like, for me, like, I don't know. Even thinking about it now, maybe Brian goes ahead of him. But it just feels like Piper's so much more important to the business than Brian.
Right.
Like, and that matters to me. Like, Brian doesn't feel like that level. And maybe it's because his title reigns were all cut short.
I mean, you could argue he was, because, and this is a conversation we had in our chat recently, is, you know, that Brian's kind of the one guy that, if you look at that 14 run, the emotion he brought out of fans and reignited, you know, like what had become kind of doldrum period, 13 and 14. So, I mean, you could argue that he, I hate to do this because I do not want to slight, I mean, we are nitpicking. I do not want to slight Roddy Piper.
No, we're supposed to nitpick though.
But which of those guys could you replace more easily and get the desired result? Like, could you have put another heel in with Hogan in 85?
Not to the same level. I think you needed, I mean, who would you have put in that role that would have gotten the same reaction? And, like, I mean, like, Roddy Piper kind of built the business that all these people wrestle in,
right,
in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's got to kind of count for him. Like, but again, like, I'm looking at it, right? And, like, when I look at their nuance, because I have, like, little notes in all the categories, and, like,
could you put Andre
ahead of him?
No. Could you have put Andre in a spot?
I don't think so. I think Andre needed to I think where Andre fought Hogan was perfect in terms of the progression of the storylines of that world.
Hmm.
Because, like, you needed to you don't want to put Hogan against Andre right away. You want that 3-year thing.
Right.
Hogan fights Andre right away. I don't know if it's as interesting. It's just another monster. That's what made Piper interesting, is he wasn't just a monster.
How about Daniel Bryan, though? So if he is not there, who are you putting in his spot?
Punk, probably, but it's not the same.
Right.
Like, I mean, Bryan also has a lot, like, building. But Bryan also comes from an area where there are valid options in there. Like, you know, they could have booked Cesaro in a similar way. I don't know if he has the same connection to the crowd, but I don't think it would have been that far off.
Really?
Like, maybe. It's hard to say. Like, I'm just trying to think of who you could slot in there. Because, like, is Bryan – yeah, Bryan's much more charismatic than Cesaro.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, I love Cesaro, but I don't think it's even close. More. Yes.
No, you're right. Yeah, and, like, when I look at Bryan, too, like, he got some of the biggest audience reactions I've ever seen.
Right.
Biggest since Austin, at least, in my mind. Or maybe Punk when he came back and Chicago and everything.
I mean, I think him and Piper are actually a pretty fair comp, just on the opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, Bryan weights heavier on work rate and matches, and Piper just weighs heavier on promo and moments. I mean, Bryan had some good moments, huge moments, but many less than Piper had. I mean, how many big moments, not to turn this to only Bryan, he's not on our list tonight, but, like, what are Bryan's biggest moments? The beating Cena.
Yeah, beating Triple. I mean, the two wins at WrestleMania 30.
Right. And then
huge.
The cage in Providence.
Yeah, is that with Wyatt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say getting killed in 17 seconds or whatever is big.
Yeah. And then the fan thing where they all went in the ring.
Oh, yeah. His return at Survivor Series 2010.
Yeah. All right. Well, he's got a decent amount.
Yeah. The team with Kane, like, that, like, was big because of him.
Right. But not moment. It's not a moment.
No.
So anyway. No. All right. We're getting way off track. So anyway, yeah. I mean, I think you have Piper in the right area. Like, when you start saying Owen and Orton and those guys, like, that's where it's a clear, like, yeah, no chance.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
no, they're not. So, yeah, it's just, like, it's funny because if I put Bryan ahead of Piper, which I'm kind of thinking maybe now that I'm really looking at it, like, I have to do a couple more passes on my list, right?
Right.
But, like, that pushes Andre out of the top 20. I know we're not talking about Andre, but that feels weird, too. Like,
yeah.
Because he's such an important cog in that wheel.
He is. I feel he's just got, I don't know. Andre's a weird one because I don't want to count matches and stuff because he just can't hang in that area. No. He's his presence, you know. But then I look at, you know, when Jeff learns wrestling, Jeff immediately gravitates to Andre. So it speaks to something, right? I mean, that's like his favorite guy so far through 87.
Right.
So there's something there, obviously, that still exists.
I don't know. Like, to me, like, I think I made this point on another podcast one time, but it's like when you look at that Hogan-Andre match, like, he obviously is having trouble moving, but he did everything to make the fans rabid in that match.
Right.
Which in the end is like what work rate is supposed to do.
Yep.
So it's kind of hard to fault him. Like,
No, he's an interesting one. Okay. All right. Yeah, so, I mean, I think top.
I my whole list now. I don't know what to do now. Only got 2 months.
Andre's a weird one. No, I think top like 20, 21 for Piper. I mean, that's. I don't know how you find guys below that unless you're just super work rate heavy and saying you need like all the snowflakes like to be in the top 25 or whatever. I have a hard time seeing Piper once you get to that tier below that to start.
Would you have Mark Henry ahead of Piper?
In back sweat, yes.
Nice.
Speaking of back sweat, let's move on to our next person, and that is China. So, again, this is the one I think tonight. Usually we have one on here that is on the cut line of making the list, and the rest usually we're just kind of jockeying position. But China's an interesting one. She's got the historical, you know, it sounds to you like you keep bringing up business altering. I mean, I think you could factor China into that, right? First real woman competitor that was mixing it up with men consistently in the Rumble, King of the Ring, IC title. You know, she did a lot of that stuff. Was the first woman that men really sold for, you know, 97. People like Mankind and Goldust and stuff, like putting her over in the ring, letting her beat them up outside the ring and stuff like that. Part of DX, huge deal, pretty big faction, obviously, at the time. And she was immediately made, like, main event level with that. Then she gets this reconstructive surgery and is even bigger because they think that she's good looking now. So they start pushing her.
Right when she asked them not to treat her like a woman.
Right. And to treat her like a man either.
Yeah.
Treat her for who she is. But yeah, so she comes back and that's when she immediately goes to the corporation. They get the double term with Triple H and all that stuff. Then her and Triple H slowly kind of break apart. Stuff with Jericho, probably some of her best matches in there. And then the pairing with Eddie, which was great. I mean, they had really great chemistry. They were funny. They got along real well out there. The Mamacita stuff was really good. And then even toward the end, when she was back in the women's division, the Ivory stuff is obviously kind of a black eye, but WrestleMania 17 is cathartic just because she destroys the RTC pretty much.
Yeah.
And then had a developing thing with Lita that was getting pretty interesting before she left. Again, though, like, does she have enough in-ring to even really sniff the list? Or does she carry enough gravitas with her just overall, you know, presence and importance?
Yeah, that's basically what I'm struggling with. I had a long discussion with Stacy on one of our forums. I think I made her lose her mind when I said that, like, China might be my only pre-horsewoman woman to make my list.
I'm sure, yes.
But, broke her. You know, yeah, my reasoning is really based on a lot of it has to do with her overall importance to the business, like at the time. Like, you know, when we look at her nuance, she was always the same character. There was no change. She just wasn't, like, unless you count surgery as changing character, but she was groundbreaking in a lot of ways. Like you were talking about fighting the men and stuff like that. And I think it's interesting that, like, she was unlike anyone that had ever come before her, but was never duplicated.
Right.
Which I don't know if that's a pro or a con against her. But her character was super over. I use character in quotation marks because, you know. And she also did the unholy deed of getting Triple H over, right?
Right. Like, yeah. I mean, they tried everything until she came along. I mean, everything, right? The Mr. Perfect, turn on him, Mr. Hughes. Yeah. So just, like, you know, push.
All the misters.
Right. Every mister they could dig up and finally just said, all right, maybe we need the misses. So go to China. No, China finally got him over. You're right.
And then he married Mr. McMahon.
I mean, she's got her moments. Her memorable moments are in there too, with the one I always think of, her slamming the cage door on Mick's head at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Again, being the first woman in the Rumble. You know,
her
the turn at WrestleMania
cool.
15.
Sorry, what was the last one you said?
The turn at 15 with Triple H.
Oh yeah, That was good. I even her debut in her early stuff with like
yes.
shaking the shit out of Terry. Like,
yeah, I mean, she's whipping her around like crazy. Winning the title from Jarrett, like, pretty memorable.
That match is terrible, though.
The Good Housekeeping?
Yeah, I watched it not long ago. No.
Was the one before it any better?
Yes, it was, actually. Because they weren't saying, like, oh, that wasn't a household item. I mean, it didn't help it.
Right.
I actually quite enjoy the Jericho series, the one that comes next.
Yeah, which one did you like better?
I think the second one. I like the second one more, I think.
And that's when he wins it.
Yeah. Like, I remember watching that at 19 in a bar with some friends and us just losing our shit over Jericho not winning the first
one. Oh, like, God. I was just about to say, imagine if fucking wrestling Twitter was around in 1999 when trying to beat Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Lost
all
their fucking mind.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, like, for those, like, who...
It would be like a Alicia Fox fucking beat, like, Ricochet when he comes in or something.
With like a shitty moonsault.
Right, yeah. That's not...
like, I tend to compare her more to, like, I compare her more to the other women than I do the men, which I know is strange because she fought men. Like, that was kind of my whole point with, like, she's probably the only pre-Horseman woman that makes it. Because, like, even that Jericho series is, to me, probably better than most other women matches. Like, that I've seen anyway.
Right. Well, it's because he's not a woman.
No, but I mean, in terms of like enjoyment of the match, like if you're gonna star rate the match, that's probably higher for me than say any Lita match.
Yeah. See, I don't know if I can compare to the women because she was just pushed above them. You know, she wasn't in the women's division until the end.
But that's why she's so unique and interesting and different, right?
Right. So I'm not holding it against her, but I'm just saying, I can't. Her baseline for me isn't like Trish, Victoria, and them. It's like other mid-card guys from that time period, like Val Venus. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. Like, how does she stack up with them?
Oh, like I'd have her way ahead of her.
Well, me too. But I'm saying that those are her contemporaries in my mind, not the women of the era. Because she, besides Ivory, and then like a cup of coffee with Lita. I mean, she was just never in women's feuds. She was just with guys, you know, that was it.
Yeah.
It's just hard to compare her to them because they just existed on a completely different plane than her.
No, for the purpose of the list, I think if she makes my list, she probably makes it in the last like five or six slots. But then like when I look at it closely, like if I look at guys around her, right? Like I have a guy like Tajiri around her, which I know some people would lose their mind over, right? But like, when you look at their overall impact on the business, like I don't know if China's – I think China is more important to the business than Tajiri is in terms of WWF. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I just don't know if a lot of people are going to factor that in.
Yeah, but I mean even when you look at his matches, does he have that many like great matches, Tajiri? You know what I mean? Like, because that would be why you'd put him ahead, right? Or like someone like Kofi Kingston. Mm-hmm. Right, who's I think he goes a lot higher now because of the New Day stuff.
Right,
but before that, he's got years of 3-star matches. But like anything,
like Dolph, I think Dolph's a good comp.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great comparable. Like years of good matches, but like nothing important.
Right, never moved the needle.
Yeah. So like, do you put someone like him? You know, and if you do, maybe she sneaks in the list near the back end.
Yeah, I'd probably put China above Dolph Ziggler. I would. Yeah, I mean, the DX stuff is so big. Like, she was a big part of that group, you know, and that was a big deal at the time, both of them, from 97 into 98. I guess you have to count it, right? Even though she wasn't – when was her first match? Like, when did she get in the ring finally?
Well, was it then? Was she must have fought in 98.
I don't know if she did.
If not, it's the 99 Rumble, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a kind of a fuzzy area what you count. Like, do you just not start counting her shit till then, you know? I mean, she was active, though. Like, I feel like Bobby Heenan, you're kind of counting probably some of his bumping and stuff as a manager, if you're counting him.
Yeah.
I mean, she was a pretty active competitor in all those matches. I think her first actual match is that tag at Valentine's Day Massacre. No, I'm thinking about it. I mean, the Rumble counts, obviously, but
she's in there for like 2 minutes too. Like,
right.
I've been watching through 2000, and like she's in a bunch of tag matches, like either with Billy Gunn or like teaming with Too Cool and stuff like that. And like she's not lighting the world on fire or anything, but she's good.
Right.
Like she doesn't stand out as someone who's subpar in the ring at all, I find.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. She's at least passable. I'll give her that. What about her character?
Well, there's not really a character.
Though. Right.
There's nothing there.
Rugged like, look, woman.
Promo character, it's a zero.
Right.
Weird voice, strange look in her eyes. It doesn't work. Although, her falling in love with Eddie Guerrero is actually quite good.
Yeah, she was good in that, the whole thing. And then finding him in the shower with the women, Victoria.
The moment where he pins her with hugging her is just brilliant.
That's probably her best character work there. And maybe the Kane stuff. Like, she wasn't bad with that.
Yeah, she's okay with that, yeah.
All right, so I don't know. The more we talk about it, I just don't see it. Like, I mean, I'm going through these categories, and I'm like, all right, longevity, not a ton. Flexibility, she was kind of the same. Healer face. She was as China. Intangibles, yeah. I mean, just the fact that she was able to wrestle guys as a woman and be pretty believable and just have the look. I mean, she was over, so I guess she had some level of connection. Jump up factor, she's got a few. Her peak match, I don't know. Jericho,
it's
I guess.
It's just the Jericho series, and then everything else is fine.
And even the one at the Rumble kind of sucks, her, Holly, and Jericho.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember liking that very much.
Well, that's a co-champion bullshit.
Right. No, I mean, like, promo non-existent.
Like, would you put her ahead of Kane?
No.
No, you put her behind Kane, eh?
I just think Kane has more matches.
Yeah, but he's got all the bad matches, right?
Well, I feel like all of China's matches are bad.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably where we disagree. Like, I just don't think she's bad. Like, I don't think she's necessarily great, but I don't think she's bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Kane just had enough peak stuff to put him ahead of China, that's all. Hmm. I mean, if you want to talk, like, if this list was simply business-altering WDF people, I think she'd make it.
Well, and that's the only reason she would make mine. Like I'm saying, like, she would make it, like, I don't know, 95, 96, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't put her ahead of, like, anyone who I, like, I wouldn't put her ahead of, like, anybody important.
Right. Well, I mean, as is the running joke on this, I don't have a list yet. So, I mean, I'd have to, I don't know what my bottom 10 looks like. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, could she end up maybe sneaking in there? Maybe. So, I guess I won't rule it out. But I don't see her any higher than that.
In the end, I might not even include her. Like, it was more just like, it was funny because it was a throwaway line that became a big debate. So, I wanted to hash it out.
Yeah.
Like, where it kind of like landed. But yeah, like, The matches aren't there to rank her anywhere near anything out of the bottom 10.
Right. Definitely not. All right. Someone whose matches are, according to most people anyway, unless you're the type of things you can beat this guy up, Brock Lesnar. I've seen a lot of people, you know, have him fairly high on their list. I think he has. So let's just start. Nuance. I think his longevity's obviously grown. He is works pretty well as a face or heel and now just as himself. Intangibles, he's a monster. He's believable. You know, he's probably one of the most credible athlete guys they've ever had. I don't want to say he's got the connection, but he's got his weird silent charisma that is like when he's in the ring promo wise, it's not there, but as soon as the bell rings and he's like just there bouncing back, like it just feels like a spectacle. And like there's not that many guys who have that.
Yeah.
A spectacle feel. So, you know, I think that's a big part of what he is. So where, all right, let's start at the top. I always jump the gun and then come back. But where was your first gut instinct on Brock?
My first gut instinct was top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure he's going to be top 10.
Yeah, I would say I had him in my mind top 10 or 15.
Like he can't go. Like, basically my top 8 are like the company carrying guys.
Right.
Like we talked about this last time. And he's not in there, but he's like right at the cusp of everybody else.
Yeah, I would say he's probably the leader of that next bucket.
Well, for me, like the only one who's ahead of him that I don't consider like a company carrying guy is Michaels.
Right.
But I mean, that's just.
He's just Mr. WrestleMania.
Football. Yeah. Yeah. And Brock Lesnar's Mr. SummerSlam. No.
some idiots may say.
Some idiots. I just think that, like, I mean, we'll go through it, but I think there's a case to be made that if you took Brock Lesnar in one match, he might be the best wrestler they've ever had, the best all-around professional wrestler they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something special about him. Obviously, you can't make the argument that he has the longevity and of some of the others we're going to talk on the list. But he's just so good at professional wrestling. Like, I don't know if I've seen anybody better at professional wrestling than him.
Right.
And that, to me, is huge.
And I feel like, I mean, the debates against him these days aren't ones to me that should affect his position on the list. Like, you know, all right, maybe they're paying him a lot of money and he's not worth the investment at this point, or he leaves for months at a time. I mean, that's the deal. That's why he's here. If he didn't have that, he wouldn't be here. You know what I mean? So to me, like, I don't factor that against him per se. That's just what he is. I mean, it's like Taker in the end, or Hogan. You know what I mean? It's like, I just don't see how you can, like, hold that against him.
It helps him, like, in a lot of ways.
Right.
Because if he was on TV every week wrestling, he wouldn't be special anymore.
Right.
Yeah, I don't go with that argument at all. And even if you are saying that, it's not him.
Right, exactly. So if you take that out, I mean, how many – since his return, his worst matches are, what, two of the three from Triple H?
Yeah, I would even say three.
The Cage one was okay.
Okay. Like okay, though, right? Like, he's had, like, five-star matches with everybody else.
I know. I mean, that was pretty good. I'd have to watch it again, I guess. The SummerSlam and the – well. SummerSlam and the Mania are no good. Mania is
awful. Mania is terrible. Yeah, the SummerSlam is okay. We're saying the SummerSlam, like Bret Hart, but you know, everybody knows the SummerSlam.
He should have been Mr. SummerSlam just for that, just because he's known as... he's Mr. The SummerSlam. He's Mr.
He has your crown, Mr. The SummerSlam. the 12 one is okay, but it's just marred with that Triple H milking at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to get the people to cheer for him. They're cheering you tapped out.
Staring into the oblivion.
Yeah, just leave. Just read the crowd and leave.
So, I mean, other than that, even his first run, there weren't really any bad matches, at least, like, big ones. I mean, he was working more TV, so could there have been something on TV that wasn't great? I mean, maybe.
Sure, but... Yeah. But like, what would it bottom out at? Like, 2.5 stars?
3, yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't think he's ever had a dud.
Yeah.
Well, it depends, I guess, your thoughts on the Big Show chair fight at that Rumble.
It was what it was supposed to be.
Right.
Like, it was just, was it a match? Like, but no, like, I mean, when you look at his jump up in matches, it's insane. Like, it's really crazy for a guy who's wrestled as little as he has.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. Yeah, no, I mean, his per match star rating is going to be one of the highest ever, I would think.
Yeah. 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 Like, and always, I mean, like, look, if we go look at his nuance, like, he's probably the most legitimate fighter they've ever had, which brings with it this crazy aura.
Right. I mean, everything feels like a fucking fight when he's out there.
Because it is often.
Yeah. No, it is. All right, memorable peak matches, moment storylines. I mean, tons. I mean, his debut, right, was a huge.
Oh, yeah.
I
was there for his debut because it was in Montreal.
Right. Was it the night after 18?
Yeah, and we had no clue what was happening. We're just like, who is this killing these guys?
Destroying everyone. And then, you know, SummerSlam with the build and all that. I mean, I guess if you're looking for matches to Doc Brock, it's maybe those first couple, like the RVD one and stuff. But again, this, I mean, we're talking about his first months as a pro, you know.
And they're not even bad.
Right. I
would throw in the Hogan match where he kills Hogan early on, too. Right. It was like a huge moment. Like,
yeah, great moment. And then he's got the cell with Undertaker, which is awesome.
The Rock match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, fantastic. The build is great.
SummerSlam match for me.
Yeah, and the build is great. The match is great. And that's his first big main event as a pro. Mm-hmm. And then in 03, I mean, you could argue he's one of those guys who get the best chemistry, maybe until, like, John Cena showed up with Big Show.
Yep.
You know, he was getting good matches with Big Show when nobody was in 03. I like that stretcher match. Like, I think it's a really fun match. You know, there's a couple others that they have that are pretty good too, and they break the ring and all that.
Yeah.
His match with Angle, obviously at 19, I like a lot.
All of the matches with Angle.
Right. SummerSlam's great. The Iron Man. Yeah, the match with Taker at No Mercy is kind of okay.
Yeah.
That's probably on the lower end for him. And then he turns heel and has a great, obviously, the match with Eddie. And then, I mean, I guess you can give the Goldberg match a black mark for him. Very extenuating circumstances, but it happened, so.
Yeah.
And then he's gone, comes back, immediately has, like, a five-star match with John Cena.
John Cena.
Which is awesome.
Pure catharsis, like, for everyone for, like, yeah, the last 6 years.
And then he loses, sadly. But still, the first blip in the booking for him. And then he, you know, his first year is, like, just, I think the problem is they didn't expect him to be around. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they were just like, all right, we're going to have Cena win because this may be your only match. And then he sticks around like, all right, we're going to put you with Triple H because that's what we do. Yeah. And then,
this is the game.
Then he's still around. They're like, all right, we're going to have a three match series of Triple H, even though we don't have that you for that long. And then I feel like it's after that series is when they started to realize they should get serious about his push.
Yeah.
And that's when he has the stuff with Punk.
And that match at SummerSlam is incredible.
All right. Top. What, three SummerSlam match of all time?
I have it at number two, I believe.
Right. So what's even in the stratosphere with that? That, Brian Cena.
Brian Cena. And then I have Austin Angle high up too.
Right. Shawn Razor.
I have that a bit lower, but yeah, I'd be in the discussion.
And then Cena AJ.
Yeah, that'd be a new one up there.
So probably top five right there.
Yeah, and then you'd argue about where they go, right? But right. Still, like, yeah. Tremendous, right?
And then what does he do after Punk? He does
he fights Big Show.
Right.
And then he fights Undertaker.
Right.
And ends the streak. Which, I mean, the match is not great, but all-time that moment.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I shit on the WWE all the time, but the way they handled that moment, the way they produced that moment, might be one of the best things they've ever done.
Right.
Like, in terms of, like, how they sold everything and waiting for his music. And, like, it was just perfect.
And such a shock, you know, just such a shock. Like, no one saw it coming. Yeah. And they make up for it, you know, like, the match sucked there, but then they have the series the next year,
which is good.
At SummerSlam, yeah. Which is really good. And is it the Cell? Of course, back to 14, you know, destroying John Cena, all-time classic SummerSlam moment. 15.
The Night of Champions match is really good, too, the next month.
Oh, right, yeah, I forget about that one. And then, is he at Survivor Series that year? Or is he done for a bit?
No, he comes back at the Rumble.
Right, awesome match there, the three-way. Yeah. That's one of my favorite live matches I've seen there in person. The match with Reigns at WrestleMania is great, obviously.
Yep.
Did he fight at Fastlane that year? Was that a three-way or was that the next year? That's the next year.
I think that was the next year.
Yeah.
With the Ambrose and Reigns.
Right. So then the next night he destroys Michael Cole, which is awesome.
Another catharsis for the crowd.
Big moment. Then one of his probably blotches is the Seth Rollins match at Battleground. But again, the booking kind of did them in there because it's such an impossible match. Like, it's Yeah.
Go on.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, my take on that has always been that, like, you know, the reason why the Cena match and even the Reigns match worked so well was because it was based off catharsis.
Right.
Right? Like, the audience is just so into seeing these guys get destroyed. But the audience didn't want to see Rollins get destroyed. But yet they did the same match.
And Rollins, this isn't believable enough to be
blocked. Oh, no.
Especially at that point he wasn't, when he was booked like a pussyfoot heel, you know, just whatever, doing whatever the authority told him to do. So, you know, he just wasn't, like, Cena and Reigns were believable physically to be able to hang with Brock, whereas Rollins just didn't have it. So it just wasn't a believable match. It was just a tough spot for both of them. Then he's got the Taker stuff, and then, you know, I'd say the Ambrose Mania match is a black mark for him.
But, you know, it's a black mark, but, like, it's a black mark in comparison. Like, where would you have that star rating?
Oh, right. It was probably still, like, between 2.5 and 3.
Like, I think I had it like 3.25 or 3.5 last time I watched it.
I gotta watch it again. I haven't watched it.
Which is a letdown for me, but it's still fine.
Well, especially at that time. I mean, Ambrose was really hot in early 16, and, you know, Brock was really hot. And I think it was just a bad combo of both guys were kind of pissed that they weren't in the title match and didn't really want to be against each other. And he had all the rumors that that was the year he was supposed to maybe fight Bray, right? Brock, was that whole thing? Or was that the
year? No, that was there because the next year was Goldberg.
Right. Yeah. So he's supposed to maybe fight Bray, and
then Bray got hurt or something.
Yeah, like. Everything got all fucked around. So that was just a weird circumstance. And then you get the Goldberg stuff at the end of 16,
which is great.
All time moment. Just it's super awesome. Well, Goldberg just destroying him, and then the WrestleMania match is all time for me. That was awesome. Like that match live was an awesome experience. Just one of the best or the best sub 5 minute WWF match of all time.
Yeah, I love that match. I really did. It's funny because like I think Lesnar Ambrose would have probably been a better title match than what we got at WrestleMania 32.
Yeah, I mean I said this the other day in the chat. I think they should have just done the four way.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think they should have just done the four of them: Reigns, Triple H, Ambrose, and Brock. They all had legitimate claim to the match, and they could have just would have been better.
I wonder why they didn't just have Brock win that Rumble instead of Triple H and win the title.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Like that seems like if the end game has always been Reigns over Lesnar,
right?
Well, Triple H is important, so
I think they thought in their warped mind that Triple H is such a big heel that Reigns beating him would be like legitimate. And don't forget his feud is with the Authority at that point with all the Vince stuff coming off of 15. So I think that's just in their mind.
It's such a stupid feud.
Would you say the Braun match kind of disappointment?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
so yeah.
The four way was really good at SummerSlam.
I love that four way. Yeah, that was very fun. Yeah. I'd have to watch it again to get a good grip on where I'd rate it. But like, yeah, I liked it a lot live.
Okay, so we just went through his entire match base pretty much. But
look at that batting average.
Yeah,
right?
It's super high.
Yeah, and it's not just like super high, like, oh, 3.5, you know, 3.75. Like, no, there's 5-star matches in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's high fours. Like I personally have 3 of them at over 5 stars. Not over 5 stars.
Right, at 5 stars. Meltzer.
Yeah. You know, like, and
so what most, are those? Punk?
I got Punk. I've got the first Cena one at Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
And I got the Triple Threat at the Rumble.
Yeah.
And I've seen people make the argument that the Reigns one is also.
Right, I'd probably have that like 4.5-ish, and yeah. Rock at SummerSlam 02, probably 4.5-ish.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then Angle, I think at around 4.
Yeah, I might have the WrestleMania one a bit higher, maybe 4.25, because I quite like that match.
Good, I'm glad you're with me. I feel like I'm on an island sometimes with that one.
No, and it's funny, like I don't actually think the botch hurts it that much.
Like, no, me neither.
Because the degree of difficulty they were trying was so hard. So
right.
High.
It's like you can forgive it, you know?
Yeah.
Now, you could argue you shouldn't have tried it at that spot.
Sure.
But
it wasn't necessary in any way.
Even losing a show at Survivor Series is like a big moment. Like, that was such a shock when Big Show beat him and Heyman turned on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Promo-wise, I mean, not the best talker, obviously. But he doesn't need to. He's a guy that can sell with a smile. Like, his best heel stuff is always kind of when he's just, like, chuckling like an asshole. I'd say probably one of his best promos was when he mocked Eddie with the mariachi band.
Dancing with the mariachi band.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably some of his best, like, promo work that he's done. I mean, but since he's just always had Heyman talking for him, so he's never really had to.
Yeah, I mean, it was rough when he first came back and he was doing the promos.
Right.
With John Laurinaitis, of all people.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure didn't help.
Right. Yeah. Once Heyman came back, it turned.
Yeah, but his character is off the charts.
Right.
If you watch what he does, the little quirks he does in match are amazing.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think they don't get appreciated sometimes. You know what I mean? Like just the facials, the, you know, like when Goldberg caught off guard, all of a sudden he's like, oh, fuck. You know, like, what am I going to do now?
Yeah. Inventing the Suplex City thing on the fly.
Right. Fantastic.
Yeah. Or making the Undertaker laugh, like.
Oh, that was awesome! That's
because have you ever seen the Undertaker laugh at
anything?
No,
that's such a good moment. Yeah. It was like a sarcastic laugh, which makes it even better.
Yeah,
this is like what you want to do when everyone's laughing at you, and you're just like, you know.
and the whole SummerSlam 14 match, he's just trash talking John Cena the whole time.
Yeah,
like I'm gonna kill you, John.
Like, that was such a great moment. I remember being at Boneheads for that, and we're watching it. We're like, is this really happening? You kept waiting for the Cena comeback, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just never came.
And then there's one moment near the end where he starts punching him, and you're like, fuck, here it comes.
Yep.
Like, here it comes. But that was the joy of that catharsis, right? Like, of seeing this Superman obliterated.
The one match I wish we did get to see in his first one was him and Benoit, one that we never got. That probably would have been pretty awesome.
There's actually quite a few. I would have loved to see him and Michaels.
Yep, that's another one. Oh, I feel like maybe he may have fought Benoit in some kind of like multi-man thing on SmackDown, but they never had like that one-on-one match.
Yeah, I mean, look, the criticism I have of the current Brock Lesnar run has nothing to do with him. Is I don't understand why they haven't put him against a more varied selection of opponents. Like, I don't understand how his contract is structured. Like, I don't know if it's so many dates or so many pay-per-views.
I thought it was dates, but it seems like they use him a ton, so I don't fucking know. I don't know if they're paying him extra for all these or what.
But it's like, I mean, like, if he has 12 dates a year, right? Mm-hmm. Let's imagine that's what it is. I don't understand why they don't just have him, like, when he was the champion and never there, why doesn't he just wrestle at every pay-per-view?
Right.
And I don't understand the contract, so I might be wrong. But I would have liked to see a competitive Brock Sheamus match,
right?
Or a competitive Brock Cesaro match, or
Owens,
or the Daniel Bryan one that we were talking about the other day in the chat. Like that would have been great, you know?
Right? Where would have murdered him? So work rate. I mean, probably about as high a score as you can get. He can brawl. He can wrestle on the mat. You know, there are people that are questioning his wind and cardio these days, but whatever. I mean, fucking, he's great. He just gets everything, you know what I mean? And he's done it as a face or heel, and he's done it on the big stage, and he's done it with a shockingly low amount of training time and all that when he first started. So I would say, I think he's a top 10, top 12 guy without doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just don't get the argument. Like, I mean, I just don't see it. I've yet to hear it articulated clearly why he's not good.
Right.
But I've heard people say he's not good.
Right. And no, I don't get it either. What do you think of his Orton match?
I liked it. It was fine.
Yeah.
I find all of the matches that he has, like, you know, like Orton, Dean Ambrose, like even the Big Show ones, they're all like in the mid 3-star range for me. Which are his low points, but they're still fine, you know.
And even the first Cena match, Backlash 03 was solid.
Oh, that's good, yeah. And I mean the Orton one, like that ending was fucking sick,
right?
Like, and it doesn't work with anyone else.
No,
like maybe they shouldn't have done it.
Probably not.
Yeah. I wish I could have seen the Chris Jericho match that happened backstage after.
Right. Yeah. Why don't we move on?
Yeah.
There's not much else to say. I think he's just, I think we're in agreement. Top 10, top 12 guy. I just don't see I'm with you. I don't see the argument against it at this point, based on the metrics.
Yeah. But if you have the argument, tell us. But like, let's make it more nuanced than like all he does is suplexes now. Like, because that's not what makes him great. What makes him great is his aura and his character along with his technique.
What makes him great is the ability that he has the ability to do that. And it's believable.
Yeah.
And what's the difference between that and Hogan in 89? You know what I mean? Just doing the same fucking three moves at the end of a match.
Yeah. I mean, the crowd is still chanting along with the suplexes. Right. So.
And it's not just a gimmick. I mean, they're into him. He still has that feel.
Yeah.
But even if you want to say the last year he's tapered, which he hasn't. But even if you want to say, I mean, he still has enough. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What is the cut point? Even if you want to say... I don't know where you cut him off. Like, where you, I mean, Suplex City, I guess, started with Cena in 14. I mean, even if you cut him off there, he's still got a ton of shit. you lose a couple things that he had in 15, which was a great year for him. But if you want to say once he became, but he wasn't even Suplex dependent. He used him in the Cena match, but I mean, his matches, the Rumble 15 and Reigns match weren't all just that.
Not at all. Not at all. Even the first Cena match wasn't that at all. The Punk match wasn't that.
Right. I think the delineation, if you had to put one, maybe SummerSlam 14.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
But I think it's more recently where it's really been into overdrive with the suplexes.
Well, then I hope then you came down on Chris Benoit for for match where you did 8 or 9 or 10 suplexes.
Right. Well, I think the argument there would be that he did other stuff too.
Yes. I understand that, but...
No, I mean even in the ring. Like, he didn't just do suplexes.
No, I know, but... Oh, okay. Does Lesnar really only do suplexes now?
Probably, 80% of the match.
Yeah, I guess.
But it doesn't matter, because they're great.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on, because this last one's going to take us some time. Our final person of the night is Vincent Kennedy McMahon. He's an interesting one, because I feel like... Like, I felt this way at first, and I think others did as well. When you're first piecing your list together, you're probably not thinking of him. And then someone mentions him and you're like, oh shit, Vince. And then you're like, you know, it's like you want to hate him because he's Vince.
It's all the horrible things he's done.
But if you think of wrestler Vince, I mean, wrestler Vince ended when? I mean, he's had matches here and there.
2007?
Yeah. I mean, that when he got stuffed in Big Show's ass was pretty much it. Right? I don't think he really
you
wrestled.
You don't come back from that.
Right? He didn't really wrestle after that. He had Trump, he didn't really wrestle. Well, I guess he did the ECW stuff, so 07.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so post-ECW run.
He's got the one-offs, but that's
Brett.
It.
I mean, he's got the Brett thing, which is a disaster. Yeah. And then, you know, a couple of things here and there. But, so if you're taking his period of 99, I mean, 98, he's a great heel, but he wasn't wrestling yet. So if you want to be fair, and you want to count him for when he got active. Well, I mean, I guess he technically had a match on Raw with Austin that wasn't a match. But I would say, like, Rumble 99 is kind of his official debut as an in-ring competitor. So if you want to say Rumble 99 till summer of 07 is his run as a wrestler. I mean, would you put him as a heel of all time? Top three? Top two? Top one?
One. He's the number one heel of all time.
Right.
I don't see anybody even close.
No.
Like, who's number two? Piper?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Savage. You know?
But yeah, but, you know, do you really, when you look at it,
no,
is Savage a heel in your eyes?
No, yeah. I guess not.
Yeah, like I feel he's more remembered as a face, but right. Even though he probably had more time as a heel.
Right.
Like, maybe The Rock? I don't mean, but not even. Like,
no, yeah, his biggest stuff's a face, too. I mean, he's great as a heel, but.
Yeah. That Hollywood Rock is something special, though.
Right, you may have pockets of guys like for a 3-month span that were a great like Rock in that time. You know what I mean? Like you have guys here and
Buddy
there.
Buddy Rose,
right? Yes, Buddy Rose. Yes. I mean, you have guys that come in here and there, like Andre in '87 for 3 months. You know what I mean? Like there are guys here and there that you could cherry pick and say yes, but no one consistently had what Vince had from '99 to '03.
Oh yeah, no. And I mean, he had that brief face run, but like,
and that was just to set up another heel run.
Yeah, exactly. And it didn't.
And even the face run was great when he comes back and you son of a bitch, you know, after Triple H was picking on Lindo, whatever, and he beats him for the title. Like, I don't know. I know it gets shit on, but when you look at who's had belt since then, it doesn't look as bad in retrospect as it did at the time. Like, it was kind of the first of its thing, you know, so it looked like weird, you know, at the time it's like, oh, Vince, what a mark putting the belt on himself, but. In retrospect, all the people that have held the fucking title since then, it doesn't look nearly as bad.
Well, and like, the promotion was built around him. Like, it's not like he came out of nowhere and won it. Like, I mean,
right.
he did literally, but like, it's not like he was nobody. It's not
and
like
he immediately
was Jinder Mahal,
it.
A jobber for years, and then won the title.
Right, or, you know, suddenly put on a bunch of muscle mass and became champion and didn't draw anything, but gets credit for a big quarter of success.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no one close in terms of heel. And I would just like throw out, like, I mean, this is probably a general thing. I think he's probably in the conversation as the best overall performer of all time. Like, just in terms of like being locked into the character, entertainment value, he's just so high on that chart for me.
Yeah, I think Rock is close.
Yeah.
When you talk about just being the character, you know, just I mean, he just was,
yep.
You know. Austin, maybe he's in there.
Yeah.
Hogan.
Sure.
But, yes, very strong case for Vince to be the greatest performer. So, let me ask you this. What prevents you from making him number one?
I can't, in good conscience, put him ahead of the guys who I thought... Like, who I think built the company to a greater degree than he did. I know that sounds kind of weird, but like, Vince McMahon without Hulk Hogan doesn't go as high, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, Hulk Hogan's ahead of him. I have Steve Austin ahead of him. I have Bruno Sammartino ahead of him.
Is Austin awesome without Vince?
He's not the same, but he's still huge.
Right. I mean, the Canada stuff was getting him quite over.
Yeah. Yeah. Even before that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the whole feud with Brett and, but before the Canada stuff, even, I mean, so I don't think Austin gets as big, but that's an argument to be made about everybody.
Right.
Right. Is Hogan as big without Piper, or, you know, like, is Bruno as big without, I don't know.
Zabisco.
Sure. But yeah, like, so. Yeah, like what I can't put him ahead. In the end, we're going to talk about his matches, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I also don't think he has the same level of matches as the people ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue he doesn't have the same level of matches of a lot of people behind him, too.
Right. All right, let's talk about those matches and moments right now. So, sure. Rumble 99, very memorable, even though it's kind of a herky jerky mess throughout. But
he's great in it.
Right.
Like, him screaming as he's getting beaten up is so perfect.
And even just the training videos are big, a great,
yeah.
Shane training him and everything with the chasing the chicken and all that stuff. I hate Austin.
Yeah. I love, too, that in the Rumble match, he gets back on commentary.
Yes.
And he's awesome at that, too. Doesn't anybody want the $200,000?
Valentine's Day Massacre, great match for his debut. Yeah.
Those middle fingers all covered in blood.
Yeah. First time he'd do it, of many. Yeah. What else does he have in 99 match-wise? He's got the King of the Ring ladder match, which is pretty fun.
It's fine, yeah.
And the Higher Power, do you dock him for that?
No, it's hilarious.
I mean, the performance is great. I mean, this is where it gets fuzzy with him, because he's the booker, right? And yeah. Normally we would just kind of pinch it like that on the booker. But you have to kind of separate it, right? So, I mean, he booked the idea, which was stupid, but his performance is phenomenal.
Well, we still quote, it's me.
Right. It was me all along. You know, just that face when he pulls the hood off.
He's so happy to be doing evil.
Oh, God damn it. it's like even though it was so obvious you knew it was going to be him, it's still so good. Like, he's just so happy. That didn't matter.
Does he say son of a bitch?
Yeah, I think it's son of a bitch.
son of a bitch. And the amount of times that Jim Ross says that about him over the years and he gets angrier and angrier is another... Take that, you son of a bitch!
He really was such a bastard. He's such a good heel. Yeah. So you get that ladder match, and then he leaves after the first blood, where he fucking busts a gusher in that match too with Austin and Taker. Comes best back.
He's the best bleeder of all time, right?
Yes. Oh yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, we'll talk about those too. So he comes back, has a good moment where he comes back and defends Linda. A bit of a down moment when he fights Triple H at Armageddon.
What a shock.
Yeah, right. 30 minutes of just blow. Then he comes back and he has that weird promo with Stephanie where he tells her to go on the Ho train. I don't know if you remember that one at all. It's kind of forgotten. It's like on SmackDown in like 2000. And he goes on this weird, like, you know, the one, like, he's such a great promo, but he does have this weird way of setting up his point sometimes. And many may say that, whores like sex. And if you're a whore, you'd go on the Ho train. And Stephanie, you're going to be on the Ho train tonight. You know, it's like this weird, convoluted fucking explanation to set up the joke. So if there's one detriment to his promos, I think that, like, that's it sometimes. He has like this weird over-explanation side to him.
It's the old promoter coming out of him,
right,
trying to sell the joke that doesn't need to be sold.
Yeah, it's like he has this weird way of like explaining things. And then to turn it WrestleMania, which is what it is. But I think after that, he kind of gets jump started. And I like him with the whole giant rebooted DX Corporation thing where he's just like such a prick during those 3 months or so.
Is that the life sucks? And
yes.
Then you die?
Oh, great promo. I mean, that was one of the most memorable promos of that whole run. Life sucks and then you die. I mean, the only detriment to that time is that that's what started the whole open the show with a 20-minute promo. Like, that's where it all really kicked off, was with that era with the huge corporation. Because they had so many guys that all had to talk, you know? They'd all come out and talk.
Guys coming to the ring.
Right. And then he loses the King of the Ring. Okay match, but he has a great genetic jackhammer, grapefruits the next night where he walks off and leaves. Comes back.
It's the divorce. He's talking about the divorce now.
Yeah. Well, no, that's when he's coming home to make the babies when he leaves. Daddy's coming home.
That's right.
I was there for that night, too. That was great. That's when he introduces Foley as the commissioner. And then he comes back at the end of the year and fires him. Right. And then, you know,
sells the you're fired, like he's been hit in the face.
I think, yeah, well, it's when they're on the plane. Isn't oh, no, that's after the invasion. Yeah, that might be the one where, yeah. Well, he fires him because he fucks up the whole Austin thing, right? Then he come back and fire him because of that. He got, obsessed with the Austin thing or whatever. Because then Vince takes over because he's back in charge for Armageddon with the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
He drives up
that,
the truck.
That whole night with the truck and Patterson and Briscoe.
And then you get the Trish stuff, however you want to take that. But then at least him and Shane at WrestleMania, which was an awesome match. Great moment. Yeah. One of the best probably garbage matches they've ever done where everything just clicked. You know, Linda standing up in the chair and hit him with the low blow is just an all-time moment. And, you know, one of his best qualities is that he'll show ass. He'll take a shit-kicking. He will go out there and just be the big fucking butt of the joke. And never mind. Like, you know, he may get over for a while, but he'll always get his shit kicked out of him at the end.
Yeah.
And it, you know, that was another prime example. And then, you know, then you get all the stuff with the invasion with Angle and Austin, which is great, where they're doing the sheriff's thing and Austin's, you know, the vine for his love.
Eating for hugs.
Yeah. All that stuff is great. Then he's kind of weird as the face toward the end of the invasion. He's kind of like the old man. Like, they kind of portray him as this old gentleman for a while. And then he immediately turns heel then after Survivor Series, which is great. And then he's just back to being asshole Vince, like, immediately. You get all the stuff with Flair, the very classic pulling the air and looking around when Flair comes out.
Yeah.
And I think, too, another moment we didn't mention was Judgment Day 2000 when Taker comes out with the duck walk. That's such a great moment. I must have watched that, like, a million fucking times, that walk that he does.
I've watched, it's further back, but the one where Foley wins the title the first time.
Yes.
The walk he does around the ring, he's so angry.
Yes.
And Austin throws his hat at him. just screaming at the sky.
Oh, God. That's another one I was there for. I remember, like, it was yesterday. Just the feeling in the building. And a lot of that is, yes, because of how great Vince was. And we didn't even talk about that because it was before he was active. But the stuff with Foley, with the dad and all that stuff, where he was using Foley.
I think he's so important to 98 that has to count for him.
Yeah, if you want to be technical, his first match was that Raw with the hand behind his back. It doesn't happen, but and then you can toss in the guest referee shit over the ad. I mean, that's a whole other can of worms. I mean, his best work as a heel was from April of 98 until July of 99. I mean, that's just his. Yeah. Right.
The promo, which one is it? It's for the where Austin's going to be the ref. For Undertaker and Kane match, where he's got the German Shepherds side, and he's screaming. That might be the best heel promo I've ever heard.
Yeah, and then
fire your ass this Sunday.
And then even just the over the edge, you know, pre-opening package that he's all over the dun 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 dun, 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 you know, that one. This is my I'm in control, like that whole thing.
And he's so good in that match too.
Right. Oh,
one,
fantastic.
Two, damn it!
The Kane will breathe his last breath. Like that. And then, of course, 03. We didn't get to it. We'll get to that in a minute. One of my favorite Vince isms. But 02, we get the Flair match, which is really good at the Rumble. And then, you know, he gets the brand split, and then he kind of leaves for a little bit, right, in 02?
Yeah.
Comes back.
Come back for the Hogan stuff? Is that when he comes back?
Yeah, well, he has the match with Flair on Raw, right, where he wins, like, full control, and then he names the GMs.
Yeah.
And then I think he's pretty much gone. No, you know what? I think he comes back for, he comes back to bring to shake up Raw. He bitches out Bischoff. He says Raw sucks or whatever. And then he brings back Austin to, remember, doesn't he fires, wants to fire Bischoff, and he brings back Austin to beat him up at No Way Out
It's basically like he makes Bischoff bring him back.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when he returns, is that. And then he's got the Hogan stuff, which is, that match is great. WrestleMania, it had no right to be.
Yeah. And it's legitimately great.
Right. I mean, the greatest camera shot of all time, the bloody face over the thing. And then Piper coming back, such a great return. And then 03, you know, he's still fun too in there with the whole Mr. America stuff. You got the Zach Gowen match, which is just a fucking bloodbath. With again showing what a great bleeder he is. I mean, how many guys can just have them? I mean, you're gonna be the. I mean,
it's the back of his head too.
Right. To have that match with a guy with one leg, and like just get it over like they did is amazing. And of course, Vengeance is the all-time classic. You know, Big Show, Sable, and me. You know, the master puppeteer on the stage of fools. Like that, this fucking bizarre-ass narrative he reads through at the beginning. And then SummerSlam, he gets Angle slammed on the chair, and then he's with Brock. And then that's when he pretty much tapers off, is by that point. Well, he's got the match with Stephanie, which is a big down point.
Yeah. Right before a wedding, too.
Right. Yeah, it was like the weekend of, right? Like the week before. Yeah. And then he's pretty much gone until late 05. I mean, he tears his quads. But then
that's the best.
Great bump. But then he's gone until he comes back at the end of the year. And that's one of my favorite promos, too, for Vince, when they released the Brett DVD. And he goes... It's right before it was the start of the Sean feud. It's at the end of 05 on Raw. Sean comes out as he's talking. He's like, "Here he is, my partner in crime." You know, he's like ready to celebrate screwing Brett. And then Sean like comes out and kind of shits on him for doing it. But
yeah,
it was just like the excitement he has when Sean comes out is like so great. He's like, "Hey, here he is, my partner in crime that night." They're fucking bragging about it. And then what are your thoughts on him with Sean and the DX stuff?
Well, okay, hold on. With Sean alone, I love it.
Right.
Like, I just love it. I really dig the WrestleMania 22 match. I think it's a lot of fun. The things he does in that match, like to get elbow dropped while wearing a garbage can, like must be so terrifying. Like, you don't know what's happening. You can't hear anything. I really dig the God promo in the church.
Oh, so good.
It's just crazy. And then that whole thing with the God entrance.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy. And was it around there with the Saints go marching in?
Yes. No, that was it was before WrestleMania, because it was after Saturday Night's Main Event where Shane fought the Spirit Squad when they fought Sean or whatever, and he comes out. Yes, that's one of the greatest entrances of all time.
I cannot recreate that dance.
Like, no.
That might be my favorite thing he's ever done. And then the DX stuff, I really hate that DX. So
yeah. It's up and down.
He's the best part of it.
Right.
But yeah,
it's got so much stupidity. The Vince loves cocks and all that stuff.
Yeah, when they change his voice, and it's when he kept saying like that damn DX.
Right.
Like he sounded like a Scooby-Doo villain.
I will say him and Shane doing all the old tag team moves at SummerSlam is awesome.
Yes, that is really good.
And then 07, you know, the stuff with Trump, obviously box office breaking. And then I like the ECW stuff. I mean, whatever. It is what it is. But I loved Bandana out of his fucking mind, Vince, and the rocking chair and all that stuff. Like, I think they ran into the ground. Like, the three matches in a row with him, Shane, and Umaga versus Lashley is probably too much. But for a minute there, it was really good. And then after that, you pretty much just got Brett and then a bunch of bumps, right? I mean, I don't think he wrestles much more after that.
Yeah, and then you don't get much. Yeah, you get a couple of good promos with Punk. And that's about it, I think.
And bump wise, you got like Nexus like fucking murdering him. Like that was
Well, Kevin Owens just headbutted the shit out of him too, right?
Yeah, so and then you know, for a guy, so all those matches are encapsulated in like epic storylines too. Like there are very few just one-off matches. They all are part of some mammoth great story. You know, as a worker, he'll say it. He's not very athletic, right? He's who I was comparing Piper to before. Is just like just stiff wooden. When he bumps, he falls on his knees. You know what I mean? Like he's just. But he's such a good. He's
actor?
So he's just so good at getting his shit kicked out of him that it's like no one just because he really is getting beaten up. You know, it's like no one sells it like him. He always like. It started when he fell off the cage and broke his tailbone on the fucking table. You know what I mean? Like, that's where it started. And ever since then, he just is always just getting pummeled for real. And the brain injuries...
the only thing he didn't sell was the quad injury.
Right. Because that was self-inflicted. He can't admit it. But, I mean, the years of concussions have probably done him much damage in these days where he's just out of his fucking mind, apparently. But
some of those chair shots in 98...
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, over the edge, Austin is fucking debilitated. I mean, if he would have killed him on that chair shot, you would not have been surprised. Like, that's how fucking hard he hit him. Prolo, obviously, you know, greatest of all time, you could argue.
Yeah.
Character work, tremendous. I mean, you could say maybe a little soft as a face, but as a heel, just great, nuanced. And you know, this is where being the booker and the guy running the show helped him. Right, because he knew what he wanted to get across, and he was the best at getting it across. That's why I always liked him as a commentator. Like I thought, even though he's not, you know, the most beloved commentator. Yeah. I thought he was the best at getting shit over that needed to get over. Like, he wasn't the best at filling time, you know, but he was really good at just telling the story and hyping what needed to be hyped. And I always point to Bret Austin at WrestleMania 13 as like his signature moment of commentary. Just like he is as big a part of that match as anyone, just selling the whole story.
Yeah. Just the right amount of emotion.
Right.
Like the guys today just don't get that.
Yeah.
It's either nothing or Owen Hart voice.
But just, yeah. So, I mean, tremendous promo. Yeah, he's got it all. So, I mean, so where do you have him right now?
5.
Yeah.
Like.
So, you have, what do you have? You have Hogan, Savage, Austin, Bruno.
And then him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I had him at 4 for a very long time. But the more I watched the Bruno stuff, I just, like, I put Bruno ahead of him more out of guilt than anything else. Like,
well, in what years would you say Vince is the most key?
98 to probably 98 to 03, probably.
Yeah, see, he's great in that time, but I think his run, if he never came back as an on-screen character after Taker loses it Fully Loaded, when Vince had to leave forever. They came back 3 months later. Forever. I would say that if that was his only run in ring, I think we're like, to me, that's when he mattered the most, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, I think my point is comparing it to Bruno. Bruno had a longer period where he mattered more. Like,
yes,
Vince could have never came back after that, and I think everything would have been okay still. If you take him out of that 98, 99, I do not think everything's okay.
Maybe WCW is, we're watching WCW now.
Right, because I think he was a huge part of that, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the excitement that he drew in terms of that, like, just that. I just remember watching that first Austin, like, that Raw where he fought him with the hand behind his back, like.
Right, and that's the night that swung, that was the first one they won, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was amazing. Like, it brought out genuine emotion and fear, and it's funny because, like, what do you think his best match is?
Ah, shit. Probably Hogan or Shane.
Yeah, I think it's Hogan for me. But it's funny, it comes way out of his peak. Not way out, but out far enough from his most important.
There's so much history there, too, that helped. Oh, we also didn't talk about his blade job against Undertaker. Which is just fucking disgusting to roll around on the dirt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say Shane. Hogan's probably the better match. Shane might be the better, like,
spectacle.
Yeah, fiasco. Like this, because you have so much cresting. You have the WCW shit had just happened, so Shane has that. You have the Linda stuff, the Trish stuff. Foley's in there, who had a bone to pick with Vince. Like, everything that they had been building over the past like 6 months just blew up in that match. You know, you got the WCW guys in the skybox. Like, we were still so naive about what the invasion could be because it was still so new and fresh and had just happened like the week before. And yeah, Heyman on commentary for the first time. Like, everything was just perfect for that moment. So I may say that's my favorite Vince match.
See, I think of the 3 big WrestleMania ones, I might put that last. I really like the Michaels one.
Yeah, that's really good too.
Like, because it's similar. You got like Michaels, you got the whole Spirit Squad, you got Shane McMahon running around. Like, there's just so much. You got the whole like, I'm gonna bring you back to hell or whatever the fuck that storyline was. Like, I'm gonna make you evil again, basically.
Yeah, I just feel like Vince was more pure evil at 17.
I don't know. I don't know about that because he's trying to like corrupt a Christian man.
He was cheating on his wife in front of her while he drugged her.
Yeah, but he's always been doing that.
I mean, I mean, him degrading Trish and then making out with her while Linda sat there in the coma. You know,
He spat out holy water and said, "Who am I?"
That was after WrestleMania.
Yeah, but it's all part of the same. He fought God. He literally fought God and built an entrance for him.
Yeah, they're close. So who's after Vince on your list?
See, this is crazy, but I can't find a way. Like, I have Vince at 5 and Rock at 6.
Yeah.
You know, but I love The Rock. I think he's great. I just watched 2000 where he's really good in all of it. But he doesn't bring out the same emotion that Vince does for me. And, like, I have Cena after Vince, too.
Yeah.
Well, I know a lot of people have – some people are considering from number 1, but
– see, I would probably – off the top of my head, I'd probably have Vince 6.
Who ahead of him?
The 4 you have plus Cena.
I could see that argument. I have issues with Cena. Like maybe we'll talk about Cena soon on another one. But but yeah, like to me, Cena is the last of those top eight.
Right.
But yeah. But I'd entertain the argument.
Anyway. I think Cena gets. He's had some down stuff. I just think Cena should get a lot of credit. He kind of took what Sean did and had to do it over 10 years, which is take a cold, dead product and carry it on his back.
Yeah, I think my problem with Cena is that he still does too many things that expose the business. And that's what pushes him back there.
That's the era, though.
No, but other people don't do them the same way. And he should know better, being the top guy.
Sean did it too, right?
Not to the same level that Cena does. This is a Cena conversation. We'll get majorly backtracked into, but I think we should do Cena soon. Anyway.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, I'm the biggest Vince mark in the world, but yeah, all right. I mean, I have to think about it. Rock has a tricky one too. You know, Rock is a real tough one. I don't know.
Rock's hard because, I mean, they're all hard when you get up to the top few, right? But it's like,
it's Rock
when you
hard.
Look at the, yeah. Oh, like when you look at the guys that carried the company, like I would consider Rock one of those guys, right? In terms of like the megastars.
Mm-hmm.
But you could probably make an argument that he might be the best worker of those megastars. I don't know if I agree.
Do you have
with
Savage in that megastar category?
I do, but it's funny because Savage is one that probably has the least megastar cred,
right?
Of them,
he's the best worker. I think I would put Hogan as a worker over Rock. That's me.
Oh yeah, I don't think I would. Not after rewatching 2000, especially.
Okay. Maybe I got to rewatch that. Watching 85, 86 Hogan, I think I put him above it.
Oh, yeah. Look, I have Hogan at 2, right? So, like, I'm not –
No, I know.
He's not going to –
I'm just saying I would put him as a worker over Rock. Just, I mean, 85, 86, he's a fucking force. Like,
yeah, he's great.
All those matches we watch for MSG, I recommend to anyone. The Savage series, the Funk series, like, everything. Just everything he did in those matches, he's just awesome.
Yeah. And, yeah. Yeah, Rock's hard. Rock is really hard.
Yeah, and who do you have after Cena? Sean?
Sean, Brock. And that's my top 10.
I guess my thought for Vince over Rock and maybe over Cena is that Vince, to me, is the greatest heel ever. I don't think Rock or Cena are the greatest face ever.
Cena might be the greatest heel ever.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually plays into it. And
yeah.
I find Vince is more important and did more for the company than Rock and Cena.
Right. Who is your top face ever, Bruno?
Probably Hogan.
Yeah.
Probably Hogan.
Hogan, Bruno, 1-2.
Yeah. Yeah. Then, when you say top face, what do you mean? Like, I think
just who's the best face ever? Like, we just were sitting here saying Vince is the best heel ever. Right?
Oh, best face ever? Yeah, Hogan.
Okay.
Hogan, Bruno, and then probably Michaels.
Right.
But Michaels is also a great heel, which is blah, blah, blah.
So we didn't bring him up when we were talking about Vince being the best heel, too. Like, Sean's 97 heel.
He's so good.
He might be the closest to Vince, him and Piper. 85 Piper and 97 Sean and 03 Rock.
Yeah, 03 Rock is really good. Yeah.
01 Austin's really good, too.
Different, though.
Yeah.
Like, not the same kind of heel, right? Like.
Right. He was more chicken shitty.
Yeah. Maybe Mick Foley high in the face category too.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd be Brett. Up there. Have we done Foley yet? We could do Foley too.
No, we should though, because he's a sneaky one.
Yeah.
Like he's a guy that I had completely forgotten about, and then you're pretty high in the top 20.
Yeah, yeah. He's like top, I'd be shocked if he's outside my top 13 or so.
I have him at 13.
Yeah. I've pictured him at like 12 or 13 every time I think of this list.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you have him ahead of Brett?
Foley?
Yeah.
No, I think Brett's got him
This is my favorite part of our talks, by the way.
What? Just getting frustrated?
No. Like, guys against guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when we talk about individual guys, it's very abstract until you're actually placing them, right?
Right,
like,
yeah. That's where it gets tough. I know. I almost feel like we should like build the list and submit one. we talk through some of these guys together that we should just like do our own.
We have a similar mindset for the most part.
I'm making the cut list. I'd probably embrace it at this point since I don't have my own yet. Brent Foley's interesting.
And it's crazy because that's also a dream match that we should have gotten. We didn't really.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if they fight on Raw. I feel like they fought at some point.
But it's not the same, right? Like, right. When I mean dream match, I mean like a good pay-per-view. You have time, right. You know, like.
I feel like, I keep wanting to say like Foley got worse, like the last, you know, like his comebacks, diminishing returns. But then I keep going back to 06 where he had the great ECW shit and the Flair stuff.
Yeah, and his match with Orton in 04 is amazing.
Yeah. I guess when I think of his shit, I think of like 05, like the Carlito match, which is terrible.
Sure. But yeah. I mean, like, I'd rather watch Foley fart Carlito than watch Brett fight Undertaker at Royal Rumble 96.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably about dead even. I'd probably put Brett a tick higher. I just don't think Foley ever had the opportunity. Like, if we're talking about guys kind of carrying the company, like Brett kind of did from 93 to like 95. So. I don't think Foley ever had that point.
Yeah, I don't either, but I just think I have Foley ahead of Austin. I just think that like Foley kind of
ahead of Brett, you mean? You said Austin.
Yeah. No, I don't have Austin. Excuse me. Ahead of Brett. I think Foley kind of beats him on most categories though. Which like, and I mean, I would factor that in that Brett carried the company, but he also carried the company in a period where it was not too many people were interested in what he was bringing.
I can't put that on him though. I mean, that's coming off the steroid stuff and all that. I mean, just it was going to be dead whoever was there.
But I mean, who's
not even Hogan was working.
But who's more important to the company? Like, is it the guy who carried it during its weakest point, or like the third most popular guy in the hottest era ever?
See, but that's what hurts it. Because I think you could have. I think Godfather could have been Mick Foley. like I don't think that. But my point is that it was so hot that anyone like. You know, Foley was unique and special, and he deserves all. You know, he's a big part of the Attitude Era. Yeah. My point is, behind Austin and Rock and McMahon, like I think anyone could have maybe elevated up.
But that's why the product was hot, though. The product wasn't hot only because of Austin McMahon. I would say that was the major
factor. I would say Brett in '97 did more of a job of helping bring a company that was in the doldrums out and being the key storyline of those Raws. If you watch all those Raws, that's it. It's the Hartford Nation in Austin. I mean, that's, you know, without Brett being the stodgy old angry veteran, like, does Austin become who he is?
Yeah, like, I would agree on 97. I was speaking more to, like, towards, like, 94, right, 95, true. like around those. But yeah, 97 for sure. Brett's a major, major cog in that reel. But
and that's like, when his best promo stuff is 97, too, where he finds he's finally fucking comes from on the mic in that year.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll stick the enema in Pittsburgh.
I don't think Brett has a stretch as bad as Foley's like 99.
No, but the one defense for that is that I find when Brett does have a match that's boring or subpar, it's way worse than anything Foley does in 99.
Yeah.
That's in the end, when I'm comparing the two, I think that's what puts Foley slightly ahead. Now let's be real here. We're talking about number 13 and 14 of all time, right?
Right.
Like, so like, don't riot and be like you're shitting on Brett, because I'm not. Like, but it's just like there are matches with Brett that I just never want to see again.
What's your number one Foley moment?
Moment?
Mm-hmm.
Getting thrown off the cage.
What's your number one Brett moment?
Moment. It's hard. Maybe winning the title in 97 moment.
Yeah, I'd say WrestleMania 10 maybe.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking 13, just the Austin bleeding and him, you know, has him the sharpshooter, and then.
Yeah, I mean, I would. Yeah, I guess if you consider that a Brett moment, I think the WrestleMania 10 is just like, it's good and it's nice that he's elevated and it feels like a nice apology.
Yeah.
But like, he's also like,
he's not a moments guy. He isn't.
No,
and I would put Foley's top two moments over anything with Brett, moment wise, because I think Foley winning the title in Worcester is that and the cage, you know, the top two.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's an interesting one?
What are Foley's best matches versus Brett's best matches? Bonus, making the cut.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll put this in the description. Yeah. It's Brett. I was going to actually say, in our next episode, it actually just be comparing guys instead of individual guys. But
yeah, we do versus.
We could have done Brett versus Foley. I guess we're going to do it now. Yeah, all right, let's do a sneak peek, and then maybe we'll blow it out next one. We'll do Brett versus Foley on the next one. Maybe we'll do two versus on the next one.
Sure.
Who else were we just saying we needed to do soon?
Cena.
Let's do, yeah, we can do Cena versus someone.
Rock.
Cena Rock.
Yeah.
Let's do Cena Rock and Brett Foley on the next one.
Fuck. You're getting production meeting stuff too.
All right. I would say, real quick, let's do like a top four or five of each guy and we'll leave it at that. Let's just name them and then that'll be our tease and we'll wrap up. So,
okay.
All right. Top five Foley matches.
You keep getting bigger. You started with name two, now we're name four, and you said five.
Top 100 Mick Foley matches.
Number 99, Val Venus.
God, that match. You know what you've got me in the mind? Like, I'm going to go to bed and put on like a pay-per-view from 2000 now. All right, so Shawn Michaels at Mind Games.
Yep.
Orton.
Yep.
Hell in a Cell.
Yep.
Taker. Rumble at Triple H. One Night Stand, a tag. How many is that?
That's five. But you would put One Night Stand over the Edge 98?
Oh, fuck you. No, I guess
right?
Not. Over the Edge is a five, yeah.
Yeah, Over the Edge is amazing.
All right, top six. One Night Stand. I mean, you could say he's got, depending on how you rank the Shawn match, him and Triple H is a five to me.
Yeah, him and Triple H is a five to me.
Over the Edge is five.
Five to me. Over the Edge is a five. I don't have the Mind Games at five, but I have it 4.75.
Yeah.
So, and it's just because it's not that it's a DQ ending, it's that it's a lazy DQ ending.
Yeah, maybe. I like that ending because I think it fits the whole story. But, All right. Brett's top five. Top six. Owen.
Owen Austin. WrestleMania 13.
Yep. Sorry, both. Series 96. Diesel.
Which one?
Sorry, Series. Yep.
Davey.
Yep. How many is that?
That's four, I think. Oh, no, five if you count the, hold on. You got the two Austins, Diesel, Owen. Davey.
And Owen.
Owen, yeah, that's five.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a legit comp right there.
Yeah.
I'd say WrestleMania 10 is five stars. I think Diesel, I had it like 4.5.
Yeah.
Austin, I think both Austins are five stars.
I rewatched the Survivor Series one not too long ago, actually earlier this year, and I don't have it at five. I had it like 4.5. I had it a bit lower.
Okay.
But it was still amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Davey, I probably have it like 4.25 or something.
Yeah, I have it higher, but I got to rewatch it. And you get a lot of tag stuff with Brett, too.
Yeah, you get the Brainbusters match, the Demolition match. Bulldogs, the Bees. Like, there's a lot of good stuff in there.
Something to think about, too, with both guys. We'll hit on maybe next time we talk. But, like, how important is it to you, like, that they made other people?
Yeah, and they both were great at it.
Yeah, I think, yeah. And they both made important people.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's good tease.
Yeah, we'll save it. We'll blow it out next time. All right, hope you enjoyed episode 4, Making the Cut. It was a weird one. Some interesting takes, I think. But share your thoughts on the Facebook page. If you want to join the project, you can hit us on Facebook or any social media. We'll add you to the group. We have a chat page going on there with all the discussion. Like I said, we have a Google Doc with all the list of nominees and all the rules and regulations. ProWrestlingOnly.com, we have a chat going on there. Kayfabe Memories, their message board, we have chatter going on there as well. So lots to do, lots to see. If you go to our podcast feeds on iTunes, Place to Be Nation Wrestling, Place to Be Nation Pop, Pro Wrestling Only, there's a ton of podcasts and pod blasts there as well. I mean, Will did like 11 or 12 episodes on this stuff of his series as well. So a lot, a lot to digest when it comes to this project. You should definitely have plenty of content available to you and plenty of matches to research too that have been called out in the Facebook group. So check all that out. And check out the rest of our shows. Shop with us, PlayStation.com/Amazon. For Aaron, he's going back to the frigid cold of the north. I'm going to bed. I'm JT. We're out. We'll talk to you soon. We'll do another one soon. We'll talk Brett Foley. We'll talk Cena Rock. Maybe something else too. Ivory.
Candice. That's the versus.